This is a HeadGum Podcast. Lady Lovin' is brought to you by Kopari, my favorite line of coconut products. I love Kopari, and my favorite product that they make is their deodorant. It is just the best. I'm wearing it right now, and I smell delicious. If you aren't up on the Kopari coconut deodorant tip, it is aluminum-free deodorant that truly doesn't suck. Kopari is just great. Fabulous aluminum-free deodorant, and it doesn't plug up your sweat glands, and it takes care of any, you know, if you have a stinky armpit, takes care of it because it doesn't mess with your body's natural patterns, and it works. It fights odor with plant-based actives such as sage oil and coconut oil, and it lasts all day long, and I'm like literally... like, I love smelling myself when I wear it because it smells delicious. And this is their number one selling product. You know, it's gotten love from editors at Cosmo and People. It has thousands of five-star reviews on Kopari's website. And Kopari's deodorant doesn't leave behind a sticky white residue, which is something that I cannot stand. It just leaves behind the sweat and the subtle scent of fresh coconut milk. It's free of silicone, sulfates, parabens, GMOs, and baking soda, so it's great for anyone that's sensitive like me. And reordering is easy with a deodorant subscription. Just choose how often you want to receive it, and they'll ship it to you automatically for free, so you never run out of deodorant, so you never need to worry ever again. Kopari also offers a money-back guarantee, so there is no reason to try it. So go to KopariBeauty.com/lovin to make the safe switch today and save $5 off your first order when you subscribe. That's Kopari, K-O-P-A-R-I, beauty.com/lovin, KopariBeauty.com/lovin. Lady Lovin' is brought to you by one of our favorite companies, Care Of. For those of you that don't know what Care Of is, it is a monthly subscription vitamin service that delivers completely personalized vitamin and supplement packs right to your door. Here's how it works. Care Of's fun and easy online quiz asks you about your diet, health goals, and lifestyle choices, and takes only 5 minutes to find out what vitamins and supplements you specifically need. It's truly amazing, and it's so easy, and it's completely customizable to you, which is why we love it at Lady Lovin'. Your vitamins then get delivered right to your door in a personalized, easy to remember daily packs, perfect for a busy on the go lifestyle. These packs are also so cute the way that they're designed. I'm obsessed with them. And what I love about Care Of is they put honesty first, providing all of the research that supports each of their recommendations, backed by a scientific advisory board. So it's, you know, really real shit. Also, they offer vegan and vegetarian supplements. So if you're a vegan or a vegetarian, they have something for you. They also offer pre and postnatal supplements. So if you're, you know, a mom to be, it's so great. And you just have these amazing packs of vitamins just waiting for you. I love Care Of because I am super forgetful about taking my vitamins, and they're just in individual packs. I can grab them. I can throw them in my bag. I can keep them in my car. I just can always have them. And it's a great way for me to get my vitamins every day, because I'm not good about like opening each pill bottle and taking it out. I know that sounds lazy, but like I don't really care because this is customizable to me, and I also save money. It's amazing. So for 25% off of your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins, visit takecareof.com and enter the promo code LOVIN, L-O-V-I-N. That's 25% off of your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins. Visit takecareof.com and enter promo code LOVIN.
Hello and welcome to Lady Lovin. I'm Jilly Hendricks.
I'm Greta Teitelman.
I'm feeling pretty inspired today.
You are? What's up?
Well, I heard this line, and it was like, comparison is the death of dreams.
Yes, that's true.
And it just made me think, you know what? We spend so much time comparing ourselves to other people, you know, whether it's career-wise or our ex-boyfriends, new partners, or whatever. And I just think that comparison sucks and we should all stop doing it.
I know. It's really hard. It's really hard to stop comparing.
It is. And we do get a lot of emails about comparison. So I just wanted to shout out that comparison is the death of dreams.
It is. And also, like, when you catch yourself doing it, you just need to remind yourself to stop.
Yep. So that's what I got today, Greta. What do you got today?
What's up with me? Okay, I like a few things are happening in my life. Number one, I'm listening, like currently, I've been listening to so much female pop music. Like I'm listening to so much Selena Gomez and so much Hailee Steinfeld and so much like Demi Lovato. It's so crazy. I don't know why. It's all I want to listen to.
Are you in the mood for a ballad?
I don't know. I think that like, I feel like a lot of their songs right now have like a tropical house kind of influence in them. That kind of like, you know what I mean?
So you're just more interested in dancing.
Yeah, I think so. And I just like to blast it in my car, but then I get really embarrassed. Like when I just pulled into the studio right now, I was blasting that Hailee Steinfeld song. Like, by the way, you do things to my body. You know that song?
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, and I was blasting it. And as I was like opening my car door, it was still playing. And this guy looked at me like I was crazy. But I fuck that guy, so I don't care.
But, you know, I love a good pop song. I've been listening to a lot of Ariana Grande.
Me too. I mean, I stay listening to a lot of Ariana Grande. She's like a staple in my life. But
definitely.
It's these other pop divas that I'm like, I don't know what it is, but I'm not going to lie. That music, like, it puts me in a really good mood. It keeps me really positive and it keeps me motivated. Like, music really fucks with me. Did I told you what happened to me when I was accidentally listening to Feist in my car?
No, I'd love to hear though.
Okay. Well, I like stupidly went down the like Garden State soundtrack hole.
Okay.
And it made me so depressed.
Did you just feel nostalgic and it brought you back to a time where you were depressed, or did it cause new depression?
No, I mean, that's a funny concept.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you listen to old shit and you're like, dude, I was in such a dark place when I used to listen to that music, or I was alone or whatever. And so it brings you back there. And then other times you're listening to music and you're like, wow, this just made me realize that I'm currently upset about XYZ.
Yeah, I get that. It was more like a nostalgic depression, I guess you could say.
Got it.
Because all of that music triggers that for me. Like, the Shins reminds me of like my freshman year to sophomore. My freshman, sophomore, and junior years of high school is what the Shins really remind me of. And yeah. I was just like so depressed and confused during that time in my life. But all that whole soundtrack, like 07, so depressing. Fucking The Shins, so depressing. I forget even what else is on that soundtrack, but it's all, Imogen Heap, depressing as hell.
So you went there.
So I went there, and then I was like, I need to get out of this. And then I went to Feist, and that song, My Moon, My Man, started playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly started sobbing in my car.
So maybe you just needed a good cry. I mean, I feel like so many people don't realize the importance of crying. I feel like everyone tries to run away from that emotion, but it's really important to let it all out, you know?
Yeah, my crying has decreased recently. I was like pretty much crying like every day for almost like 6 months when I first got here.
Wow. Well, it's good to have a decrease in crying.
I know. I mean, I do like crying. Crying is definitely like a really big release. And I think it's like really important. But sometimes when you cry every day, it feels like you'll never stop crying.
Yeah. You're like, when is this going
to
end?
But to anyone that's crying every day, it will end. You'll cry.
It will.
Like, it'll, you know, taper down to like twice a week.
And then it'll go to, you haven't cried in a month. And you're like, why haven't I cried? And then you'll cry again.
I cry at everything. Like when I watched.
The cycle will continue.
I know. When I watched Drew Brees like throw more passing yard, like break the passing yards record, which is something I genuinely don't give a shit about, I cried.
Well, because he was like, you know, accomplishing a dream and a goal. And you felt that too. You were I feel this emotion. That's something you can relate to. Even if you're not into sports, you're relating to the emotion behind surpassing a goal.
Yeah, and like achieving something that you've always put your mind to.
Yeah.
I know.
Beautiful. What an inspiration we are for each other today, Greta.
You know, we're just trying to have a good talk. Oh my God, speaking of inspiration, if people want to be inspired, they should come and see us truly next Monday.
Yeah.
At Caroline's on Broadway. the 22nd of October.
We have a few tickets left. So yes. Get those tickets.
Get them. It's going to be super fun. Carolines.com. Our shows are very fun. That's our favorite time. So everyone should come and be inspired. Be inspired by each other. You know, it's a real woman's moment. Also, men are completely allowed. We love it when men come too.
We love our male listeners too. We have a few male listeners and we love them.
We do. Wait, I want to say one more thing about what's happening in my brain and then we can go to questions.
All right.
And no one's probably going to give a shit about this, but I need to just talk about it because it's eating at my brain. I had the craziest dream last night.
Okay. About what?
Okay. My mom was alive and she was telling me that she is like, okay, we went to this movie theater and it was like a 400 person movie theater and everyone wanted me to do a set after this like 3 hour long movie was done. But I was like, no one's going to want to stay here and watch. It was so weird. There was like a bar club section of this movie theater.
Okay.
And then my mom like was like, we got to go. We're going on Susan's boat. This is like my mom's friend in real life. So like we go on Susan's boat and my mom is like, I want to introduce you to someone, my new partner, and it's a woman. And I was like, cool, like I'm so happy for you that you found someone and like I'm so happy that you feel like positive and like good in your life. And then I like lost my makeup bag, flew into the ocean, which was so weird. And then we like docked at this big summer house that looked like the set of Dirty Dancing.
Okay.
And I asked where Abe was and everyone was like, Abe broke up with you. And I was like, what? And then out of nowhere, Glenn Powell appeared.
That's the guy from the Netflix movie.
Set It Up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's like, I'm your boyfriend. He's like, I'm your boyfriend now. Abe dumped you.
I think Glenn is married.
And I don't know. He goes to my gym. But he was like, Abe dumped you. I'm your boyfriend now. And I was like, oh, like what? It was so weird. And then I had to get into this bed and the bed was like 50 feet long.
This is a crazy dream. What did you do last night before having this dream?
Like nothing. I was truly in bed at 8:30 last night.
So you just had a crazy dream without any...
If any listeners are like dream interpreters, please let me know what that means, because it was truly one of the weirdest dreams I've ever had in my life.
Feels like it. Do you dream about your mom a lot?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, like the worst dreams that I have about my mom are when she comes back to me in my dream and she's like, this has happened to me a few times where she's like, I'm still alive, but you can't tell your sister and you can't tell anyone in our family. You're the only person that can know.
Wow.
And those dreams really fuck with my head because they feel so real, where she's like, I'm sorry, like I had to fake my own death because of like work or like something crazy. And those dreams really fuck with me because they feel so real, you know?
Yeah, that's nuts. And you have that one more than once?
Yeah, I've had that dream a bunch of times since she died.
Wow.
And then I have dreams where she's there too, but not interested in me, which really makes me upset.
I'm sure. That's very emotional.
And then I have dreams where it feels very normal, like she's just in my normal life in my dream, but I don't know. I think that when someone dies and like causes such like it's so much trauma that I endured that there are so many questions left that I would want to talk to her about. You know?
Definitely.
So I feel like I'm always addressing them in my dreams in one way or another.
Do you talk to your therapist about this? Like, what would they say?
Yeah, my therapist like does believe in dream interpretation and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just like our subconscious is trying to sort information, you know, and like figure out what to do with these feelings and emotions and like thoughts. I think that that's what happens. And when we, like, you know, when you're dreaming about anything, they're valid thoughts that you have in your mind. They're just being expressed in, like, a totally different way, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. I dream a lot, though. Some people don't dream at all. Do you dream?
I dream a lot. I always I have a lot of dreams about my ex-boyfriend, which is weird, but it's probably the same unanswered questions. You know what I mean? I think
totally.
That we dream about stuff that we don't understand. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's kind of what I guess. But yeah, I have dreams like that. And it depends on how tired I am. If I'm like exhausted, it's very hard for me to remember a dream. But if I'm like a little bit well rested, I can remember more. Or if I sleep in later, I usually sleep in later on Saturdays. And so I usually definitely remember my dreams on Saturdays.
Yeah, sometimes that thing will happen to me where if I sleep in too long, I'll be like lucid dreaming.
Yeah, you're like kind of awake, kind of not.
Yeah, it's so weird when that happens. But sometimes dreams also exhaust me.
Really? So you are, like, you're just a heavy dreamer.
I can just wake up like tired from a dream, or like a dream is emotional. I dream about my ex-boyfriend from high school from time to time. And whenever I wake up from those dreams, they're always like so traumatic and tiring.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just like unanswered questions, unfinished business, you know?
Always, always got unanswered questions in life. I think that's the hardest thing about life.
I do too. And I think it's, you got to like find, it's as corny as it sounds, you have to just like find the answers within yourself, you know?
Wow.
This time of our life is really challenging. Like, I definitely think early 20s really suck. Like, I think being in your early 20s is really, really shitty.
Yeah. I didn't think it was that shitty. I thought it was kind of fun. If you think about it, it's like the time where you're not as tired so you can work more and go out more. You could really
I
do it
for
all.
For me personally, it was really shitty.
Yeah.
Just because of like my family stuff,
yeah,
you know?
That would make sense.
But I also think it's just like so challenging to figure out, like, you feel like a full grown adult and like you should know what you're doing, but you have no idea that you know what you're doing. And then you become anxious that you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know,
around 25, 26, you're like, oh shit. That's when I moved to New York. I was like, gotta make a move.
Yeah. You were 25 when you moved to New York?
Yeah.
I met you when you were 25.
Yep.
That's blowing my mind right now.
Why? I think maybe I was 26, 25 or 26. I forget.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Oh, I am 32.
It makes sense. We probably
I'm in my early 30s, as they would
I think
say.
We met when you were 25.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And I thought I was so old at 25. I was like, oh my God, I got to get it together.
I know. I felt that way too. I felt really old at like 22.
Yeah.
I felt like I just graduated, and if I wasn't like killing it in my career, I was like a loser. But it takes so long to do that.
I felt the same way. I was
so
like,
many people
I need to
write
make
us
everything
in emails.
Happen tomorrow.
Like, oh my God, this is gonna should we take a quick break for ads and then get back, because this can transition well into an email that we got this week.
Great, let's do it.
Okay. HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. There are three plans to choose from: the classic, the veggie, and the family. You get to feel confident when cooking your HelloFresh meal with the simple recipes outlined on picture and step-by-step instruction cards. It's really great and easy, and you look like an incredible chef. Also, all the ingredients come pre-measured in handy labeled meal kits, so you know which ingredients go with which recipe. And the best part is you get to spend less time meal planning and grocery shopping each week, and you get the time back to do more of what you love. And you also get to get a delicious, you know, tasty meal, and you get it every week. And it's just so fabulous. So I love it. It makes me look like I'm a good chef. I get a meal delivered to my door that's literally less than $10 per serving a week. It's so great. The shipping is free. It's so easy. I cannot stress to you enough how easy this is. Anyone can do it. and it's really fabulous. And they just have everything. Chicken dishes, salmon dishes. I eat everything, but I don't have, you know, I can't have dairy. That's like my only thing. And the fact that I can like cook things at my home ensures that I can do what I want with my meals. And it's just really easy. And they have great recipes. I've never had a bad meal. And I love that. So HelloFresh has a special offer for you for a total of $60 off. That's $20 off your first 3 boxes. Visit HelloFresh.com/lovin60 and enter lovin60. That is HelloFresh.com with the code lovin60 for a total of $60 off. That's $20 off your first 3 boxes. It's basically like receiving 6 meals for free. It's incredible. So do it. Try it. You'll love it. Say hello to Lightbox, a new brand of laboratory-grown diamond jewelry. Never heard of lab-grown diamonds? Join the club. Here's what you need to know. They have the same chemical makeup as natural diamonds, but are made in a lab by scientists. It's a pretty amazing process, actually. By using a plasma reactor nearly as hot as the surface of the sun, a piece of diamond is bombarded with carbon atoms and grows. After 400 to 500 hours, it's big enough to cut into a polished stone. Pretty cool if you consider diamonds from the Earth took about 3 billion years to reach the surface. While natural diamonds are rare, Lightbox can make a lot of lab-grown ones, meaning you don't have to be a millionaire to afford one. Lightbox's lab-grown diamonds are just $200 a quarter carat plus the cost of the setting. Their scientists have even figured out how to make the pink and blue ones. Pink and blue natural diamonds are so rare, you've probably never seen one before. But now you can own a lab-grown one or several. Check them out at lightboxjewelry.com/lovin. And we are back. Oh, one other thing that I want to say before we go into questions. I've been getting a lot of DMs about like our podcast and, you know, we haven't had a guest on in a while. We are going to have a guest on very soon. I just want everyone to know that. We haven't, that's not something that we've stopped doing. It's just, you know, it's been, we're trying our best.
Always trying here.
Exactly. Okay. This is an email pertaining to what we were just talking about. The subject line is sad, stuck, and I don't know what else. I graduated college in May 2017 and moved back home in hopes of finding a job. I had a couple interviews and finally got one in October of 2017. It was a pretty dead-end job, and I ended up leaving in April of 2017, so it's 6 months, to begin work at a more corporate setting. Anyway, here I am a year later feeling stuck and sad. I recently started grad school and feel so overwhelmed. I've always thought of myself as a little lost with a plan, but now I just feel stuck and lost with no plan. In a fit of boredom, I applied to jobs in New York City and I've heard back from 2 places. I'm a little bit of a homebody, but I applied to transfer college. Again, felt stuck and out of a fit of boredom. But before my junior year got accepted, went and it was the best decision I've ever made. So I'm sitting here wondering if it's even worth my time to entertain these job opportunities. A little bit of background. I'm 23, live in Massachusetts, have been in a really good relationship for 2 years, but have been feeling antsy and bored in that too. Sorry for ranting and hopefully this makes sense, but can you ladies help me please? Because you guys always follow your heart and I'm having issues hearing mine right now with the anxiousness and lostness. Okay. I guess I'm just a little confused. Did she get jobs in the offers in New York?
I don't know. I'm a little confused too. I think that what she's trying to figure out is her next move. That's what it seems like. She's like, I enjoy being at home, but I'm wondering if I should move out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Move out, girl. I feel like this is an email where I'm just like, you need to take a chance. And I feel like you're playing it too safe a bit. It clearly like something's like burning inside of you. So you got to go figure out what that is and explore a little bit and meet new people. That's what I'm kind of getting from this. So if I were you, I would take a big chance and move somewhere new or do something new with your life, because it feels like you need like a little bit of a spark to get to feel, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think you should definitely move and like take a new job and just go. I think that you just want to hear from maybe us or somebody that you should just go, and you should go. If you're feeling bored in all aspects of your life, you're 23 years old, you got to just fucking do it. Rip the Band-Aid and go.
And she says here, like, I'm a little lost with a plan, but now I feel like I don't have a plan. It's like, maybe you need to make a move to get a plan. You know what I mean? I think that if you just stay there feeling this way, that you're never going to come to that plan. So I would definitely take a chance and go for it.
I agree. Okay. I have another good question for you. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is from one of our male listeners. He wrote in his subject, one of your four male listeners.
Amazing.
Okay. Hi there. One of your male LGBT listeners here. Huge fan. And I want you guys to know that you've gotten me through a lot the past few weeks. You're all awesome. Thank you so much. I'm almost 26 and I'm just now experiencing my first breakup. It took me a while to accept my sexuality. So while I'm a confident and driven guy, I came into my first relationship with a ton of insecurities. Sexually, I was much less experienced than my now ex. And while he reassured me he was satisfied, I found out toward the end of the relationship that he was not and missed the level of sex he had before me. While he said that I was nothing but amazing to him and that he wanted to make things work, he then ended up breaking up with me over a 3-minute phone call a week later. This did not allow me to get closure, and I hate that he was able to get away with hurting me. How do I shake the crummy feeling that he probably went right to Grindr or another app after ending things while I mourn something that was extremely important to me? It was only about 3 months, but still meant a ton to me. What do you guys recommend as the best coping skills for a breakup? I'm new to this and feel this is something most people my age experienced years ago.
So one thing you mentioned in this email is that, you know, you're mourning in a different way than your ex is mourning. And I would say that you can't compare the fact that, like, maybe he's the way he's dealing with, you know, ending this relationship ending is him going on dating apps and going out with a bunch of different people. Like, that's just the way that he's dealing with it. And you're handling it a different way. But that doesn't mean anything negative or positive for either of you. Those are just two different ways of handling the ending of a relationship. So I would kind of try to separate that from your mind, like comparing yourself and you maybe not wanting to go on the dating apps, but him wanting to go is him being more over you. I just think you can't let your mind go there.
Yeah, it's, you can't do that to yourself, because like even humoring the fact that he's like on Grindr or another app or whatever it may be, that doesn't do anything positive for you. Like, you just, with the second that thought creeps in your head, you need to do as best you can to just shut it down. And also that is for some people their coping mechanism. Yeah. That is how some people deal with their feelings. And it has nothing to do, like, it doesn't belittle the feelings that he could have had for you or that he had
definitely
for you, you know?
It's just a different way of handling it. Some people are like, you know what? I want to go hook up with a bunch of people and, like, that's how I move on. And other people are like, I want to be alone and focus on myself. Like, it's just people have different ways of coping with breakups. And some people also don't like to be alone at all, even if it means being with someone just for the night, you know?
Yeah, I think that like ultimately the healthier thing to do is doing exactly what you're doing, taking the time to mourn the relationship. But you also can't do the thing where you are flipping everything bad about the relationship on yourself. Like, you can't do that to you. Like, you can't think, oh, if I were more experienced sexually, like, he would have stayed with me. If I could have done this, this would have happened. Like, this person wasn't right for you. And you need to know that in your heart of hearts, that, like, you will find and meet another person that is going to be amazing for you, that is going to be on the same page as you, and that isn't going to make you feel inadequate. It kind of sounds like this guy made you feel a bit inadequate.
Yeah. And also, like, it's on him to say, hey, you know, if he wanted to, you know, have different sexual experiences with you or more sex or whatever it was in the relationship, like, he needed to come to you and talk to you about that. Like, that's a communication issue. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
you can't read
there
it.
Are
mine,
ways.
So, like, he needs to come to you and say, hey, listen, like, I'd like to, you know, do X, Y, Z or whatever. And you can respond in that way. But at least he's giving you the opportunity and the chance to show up. You know, when someone does stuff, whether it be like sex or just emotional or whatever it is, it's like he's not giving you that opportunity for you to, like, either meet him halfway or meet him all the way or whatever you want to do. But that's just not fair to you. That's not, you know, a great feeling to have.
Also, anyone that calls you, I don't care how long you dated for, anybody that's calling you and breaking up with you over a 3-minute long phone conversation is whack.
Yeah,
Like, that's, like, not sensitive. That's not kind. That's, like, honestly fucking cruel. And I, if I were you, that would piss me off, too. But we cannot stay pissed the entire time because that will, like, really make you just feel like shit constantly. So, wait, Jilly, what are your, like, tips for coping with breakups?
Exercise, I would say, is really important for me to feel good about myself, not even from like a point of losing weight or a point of like being really fit. It's more just when I'm exercising every day and eating healthy, I'm just showing my body that I love it and I'm feeling really great. So that's really something that I do that really changes my mood and my perspective on life. So I 100% think that that is really great. And I would say just make plans with your friends and the people that you love and like don't rush into anything. I think that sometimes we tend to be like, we just need to hook up with someone else or I just need to like go out with someone else so I can move on. I would say like let yourself feel. I mean, like, you know, I always go back to this quote that was in that movie that Timothy Chalamet was in. Have you seen that movie?
Which one?
Oh my God. I'm going to actually look on my computer and pull up this quote because I think it's the most beautiful thing ever written, actually. So give me 1 second.
Are you talking about Call Me By Your Name?
Yes. There's this quote. It's from Call Me By My Name. And it's when the dad.
By Your Name.
Sorry. Call Me By Your Name. It's when the father is talking to Timothy after like the breakup. And he goes, look, you had a beautiful friendship, maybe more than a friendship, and I envy you. In my place, most parents would hope the whole thing goes away or pray that their sons land on their feet soon enough. But I am not such a parent. In your place, if there is pain, nurse it. And if there is flame, don't snuff it out. Don't be brutal with it. Withdrawal can be a terrible thing when it keeps us awake at night, and watching others forget us sooner than we'd want to be forgotten is no better. We rip out so much of ourselves to be cured of things faster than we should have that we go bankrupt by the age of 30 and we have less and less to offer each time we start with someone new. But to feel nothing so as not to feel anything, what a waste. So I love this quote so much because I think it's basically saying that everyone tries so hard to move on so quickly and to forget and to not feel because they don't want to feel the pain that they kind of end up numbing themselves. And then you bring less and less to like different relationships because you're kind of so like in a shell and pulled back. So I think that there's like nothing wrong with actually feeling. And I feel like a lot of people want to move on so quickly from breakups that they just forget to feel. And so like I think this is like a great reminder that you should feel. And if you are upset about something, even if, you know, your friends are saying move on, it was only 3 months, like whatever. That doesn't matter. You should just be able to feel and process it the way that you want to process it so you're ready for the next person.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I think that like all these experiences build and like help inform who you are and build a greater character and will only make future relationships better for
you. And even going back when you're like, we only dated for 3 months, it doesn't matter. Like you could meet someone for like 2 weeks and be like, I'm in love and this is life changing. I remember a few years.
Oh my God. I met a guy, I knew him for a week and he ruined me for like a solid year.
Same. I met a guy at a wedding. A nice Orthodox man. And that was like a whatever that was for a year and a half, 2 years. I was in love, you know. I don't think it matters.
It's no, time does not matter. Does not matter at all. Like you can fall in love with someone. I think you can fall in love with someone in like a night. And some people think I'm crazy, but I really do believe that.
I believe it too. I feel like, I mean, if it's, you know, 5 minutes, I'm not going to really believe that. But if it's longer than that.
I think, it's like a whole night. I think that that's like really possible. And I think that you should also just like be fucking nice to yourself and also stop yourself from doing things. Like don't look at his Instagram. Don't look at his social media. Block it if you have to. Like do things. You need to stop doing things that are going to psychologically fuck with you. Like don't go places where he's going to be. Don't look at his shit online. Like don't think about what he's doing. Don't like get on Grindr and like try and find him. You know, it's like not worth it to do shit like that. I don't know if you're doing shit like that, but like sometimes I get really psycho and it's like important to not do that.
I mean, I look at my ex's stuff every once in a while and I'm like, I don't know. It's not a, it is nice when you look and you don't care as much. You know what I mean?
Right.
Eventually. Well,
when you look and you don't care as much, then it's almost like, oh, thank God I'm not with this person. Yeah. But when you're still really hurt about it, I find that like looking at your ex's stuff is just like really
definitely
hard.
There's a button you can do on Instagram. You can mute their stories and their photos, and you could also mute their friend stuff. So if he's with your mutual friends or whatever, that doesn't pop up in your shit either.
Also, some people are like, I don't want to block them because I don't want them to think that I'm being crazy. It's like, no, they fucking dumped you. They hurt your feelings. You should 100% block them. Like, it doesn't matter. They're like, but how they view whatever you need to do to be better to yourself doesn't matter.
I think that sometimes people don't like to unfollow or block because they don't want it to be like over. I think it's like also that too. Like some people are feeling.
Yeah,
that
I think
way.
There's like pride elements and maybe like not wanting it to be like over and real, but sometimes you just gotta like unfollow and just like fucking really move
Rip
on.
Rip the band-aid off.
Exactly. All right, should we do one more question?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Well, first, actually, there's one question that we can answer really quickly. And it's from the subject line is post-grad problems. Jillie, we're going to be able to answer this question in like 1 second. This girl graduated from the University of Arizona and moved to San Francisco for her first job. Unfortunately, her toxic ex moved there too. She started dating a new guy about 2 months ago. They aren't official or anything. The new guy is amazing, treats her great, etc. Her job is very unstable and she finds that she's always worried that she's going to be fired. The new guy that she's seeing is 3 years older and much more established in his career, and I feel like I'm holding him back because I'm on rocky ground at work, which is like crazy. You're not holding him back at all, but I think I could be in love with this new guy, but I consistently find myself trying to distance myself from him because I don't want to drag him down with me. My ex is also consistently trying to get back together with me, and I've known him for so long that it would be so easy to fall back into that bad habit. I know I deserve better than him, but my work life is so stressful that I'm lacking confidence right now. Do I let this amazing guy go because I'm scared I'm not good enough? Do I get back with my ex because I'm lonely and need something familiar? Do I just say, fuck it all, move back to Arizona? Please help.
Okay, so I think that you should stay in San Francisco because moving back – well, I think we said this again last week. It's like nothing – like when you're afraid of something and you get through it, like that's how you're going to grow. So I think that you should definitely stay in San Francisco and push through. In terms of like the men, I don't know. It seems like – you don't even really like any of these men and maybe you need to go for someone completely new. It's like you shouldn't be with, you know, someone that you think you're holding back because you're first off, you're not holding them back. And second off, if someone's making you feel that way, that's not the right person. And then if you're just going back to do with your ex because you want like security and safety, like, again, push through the fear of being alone, push through the fear of being in San Francisco and really get through it. Even if that doesn't ultimately like the right decision for you, like at least try it for another 6 months and a year and really, you know, figure out, I guess, like how or just like discover more about yourself and grow from there. I think that would really help you develop.
Yeah, I also think that like the concept of you holding back the guy that you're dating because your work is unstable is like crazy. Like you're not holding him back. You're not preventing him from working. Like you need to realize that maybe your job is like really unstable, but that doesn't impact the job of the person you're dating. And it shouldn't like, I understand that it's making you feel insecure, but like that has nothing to do with this guy who's like seems to really be into you, especially if you're saying you're in love with him,
agreed.
You know? And I think that retreating back to your toxic ex-boyfriend, you know, that's crazy. You're not going to start dating him again. I think you should fully stop talking to him. I don't know why you're still talking to him when you're dating this new guy that you really like. And I think you need to just like, not to give you some like tough love advice here, but like get it together. You know, you are seemingly in love with this guy. You really have strong feelings with him. Do not end the relationship. Stay with him. Continue to apply to other jobs and like know that the job situation will be sorted out. Have confidence in that. And do not get back with your ex and don't move back to Arizona because that's not actually what's going to make you happy, you know?
Agree.
Agree all of this.
I think you just gotta, like, you're not bringing anyone down. You know, your work may be unstable, but guess what? The guy that you're dating, who's, it's natural too that he's more established in his work because he's been working for 3 years longer than you. You know, you just got out of school. Like, you need to give yourself a break. These things take a lot of time, and it takes time to even figure out what you want to be doing. But, like, don't retreat back to your ex and don't move back to Arizona. That's just taking steps back in time.
Agree.
Great. Okay. I guess one last question is from the email line is 29 and not feeling fine. This listener came to my show in the Brooklyn Heights Social Club a few weeks ago. Thank you so much for coming. But here's her dilemma. 4 months ago, I broke up with my boyfriend of 3 years. The final straw was that he had a secret drug addiction. It woke me up to the fact that so much about the relationship was wrong for me, and I didn't feel how I wanted to feel about someone. I was tricking myself into believing he was my future husband. Fast forward, I feel great about my decision, but I'm having trouble being happy single. I love all of the wellness stuff, meditation and yoga, and I started seeing a therapist, but whenever I go out in New York, I leave feeling disappointed and insecure. I leave my apartment feeling confident, but no guys talk to me, and it gets discouraging. I also don't have the guts to start a conversation. I've started to feel insecure and like I've regressed to my high school self. I find that on the nights when I don't focus on meeting a guy, I just get engrossed with my friends. While I have fun, I also don't meet anyone. I know they say focus on yourself right now, but I'm 29 and don't want to totally withdraw from the dating world. Any tips for improving my mentality when going out and breaking the ice with being approached / meeting new people?
Okay, what do you think, G?
I think that, like, you can't just rely on guys coming up and talking to you. Just, like, you know, that's, like, crazy. Like, if you see a guy that you want to talk to and you don't want to feel this way anymore, you need to take control and go and talk to the guy.
Definitely. I think that that's so true. I think that making some moves, too, will also give you confidence to, like, keep talking to new people and will kind of just put, like, a positive air and vibe about you where you will become more approachable. So I think that that's a smart thing.
Yeah, you need to, like, open yourself up. You know what I mean? I think that shift in energy needs to happen for you where, like, you'd be surprised how responsive and receptive somebody is going to be when you go up to them and start talking to you. I mean, just like you're dealing with your own self-confidence issues, guys that you're trying to meet at night are also dealing with the same bullshit, you know? So you might be looking at a guy that you want him to talk to you, and he may be looking at you too, but he might be scared to talk to you, you know? Not all men are just, like, programmed to approach women and be, like, charming and lovely. As much as we'd like that, we'd love it if men approached us at bars and weren't, like, predatory and shitty and weird and just, like, charming, nice, normal people, you know? And I think that, like, exactly what Jilly said, I think that the second you start to, like, be more outgoing and be more open, you're going to feel so much more confident in all these aspects of your life. And in terms of, like, going out with your friends and being engrossed, like, please go out with your friends and have fun and have a good time. Like, don't leave that situation thinking, oh, I didn't meet anyone. You're not going to meet anyone every single time. You're going to meet someone, like, randomly when you don't expect it, as dumb as that sounds. But, like, enjoy your time with your friends. And if you see someone that you want to talk to them.
Agree. I think you're giving amazing advice, Greta. I would say yes to all of that.
I don't know. And I also think, like, seriously, enjoy being with your friends, because time just goes by and then, like, you're not going to have those amazing nights where all of your friends can just, like, be together because shit gets busy and life happens. And it's like,
yeah. And I would say that it's also, you know, like, you know, to think that every time you leave your house, you're going to meet someone, like, that's not, and then you don't, like, that you're just going to cause yourself more disappointment, because it is hard to meet people and it's not going to happen every time you leave, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't, exactly. It's not like every time you leave your house, you meet someone. That, like, never has happened for me. That's never happened for Jilly. It's never happened for Lo. That's not a normal thing.
I would say the only time that I've met men really is when I get set up on a date with them. Like, I've, like, never met, like, a random stranger and it's, like, turned into something. Like, I mean, I know that that does happen for people, but, like, it doesn't happen for everyone. And, like, that's okay.
I mean, to be honest, now that I'm reflecting on all my like past relationships or guys that I've dated, I've always been the aggressor. I've always been the one to pursue. And like, that doesn't bother me. I kind of like that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's nice to make the first move and then like, you know, they'll make the next three or something like that. But it's nice to be like, hey, I'm interested in you. And then you're giving them the confidence to actually make more moves, you know?
Right. Like I've truly, everyone that I've ever dated, I've always been the first one to either talk to them or to give them my number or to do anything like that. Like I've always been that person. And I know that that comes naturally to me and it doesn't for other people. But I think if you challenge yourself, like the next time you're out and you see a guy you want to talk to, just go up to them and be like, hey, like I'm blah, blah, blah. Like, how are you? What's up? What are you doing?
Agreed.
You know? All right. Well, another great episode of Lady Lovin' in the history books.
Who's our Lady Lovin' today? Is it Oprah?
I mean, Oprah is always our Lady Lovin'. She's forever my Lady Lovin'. I had a Lady Lovin' that I wanted to talk about, and now I forget. Oh, you know who my Lady Lovin' is? Nastia Lukin, who listens to our podcast, who DM'd us. I'm like obsessed with her / you if you're listening. I've like watched all of your shit on YouTube from the Olympics still because I like love it and I think you're so amazing and I'm obsessed with you. So if you ever want to come on Lady Lovin', we want to have you on. Well, I'll DM you after this, but that's what I want to shout out today. All right. Well, buy tickets to see us at Caroline's next Monday. Yeah, come, you know, what we said last time, come for the fashion, stay for the podcast.
Yep. I love that. Come for the fashion, stay for us.
Have a good week and we'll talk to you soon.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.